Blog Talk Radio.
God provides, so why do I worry about my life? When you come to my rescue a thousand times, every other voice it is a lie. God provides, God provides, in ways I can't explain and can't deny. The little that I have, he multiplies. Just when I feel he won't show up on time, God provides. He'll come through when the clouds of doubt rain down on you and test everything you thought you knew. Now you finally see what God can do for you. So tonight, close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. Watch God provide. God provides. It's hard to say when there's no food to eat, or what you see feels all that life will be. And will this be another year of misery for me? But my faith can't survive on just things I see. And my feelings can't control my destiny. See, God, God provide.
What the mercy of God can do. If you knew me then, you'd believe me now. He turned my whole life upside down.
took the old and he made it new. That's just what the mercy of God can do. Now I'm alive to tell the story, how I've overcome. It's goodness and mercy and the power of his blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. Goodness and mercy and the power of the blood. So much power in the blood.
To God, to whom all glory is due. Hey, this is the day that the Lord has made. Why don't we just make a decision to rejoice and be glad in it? For the Lord is good. He's awesome. He's mighty. He changes not, for there is nothing like the blood of Jesus. Amen. I just want to greet everyone this morning, this afternoon, depending on where you are. Hallelujah. We give God the glory for our life, for this day. He woke us up and he looked beyond our faults and he see our needs. Amen. It's his mercy and his grace. As the songwriter was saying, I thought I should be 6 feet under. I didn't feel worthy. But Jesus died so that I might live and have the right to the tree of life. God is awesome. He's always moving. He's always working. But he did the ultimate sacrifice when he died that we might be set free. He died that we might live and understand who he called us to be. Amen. Well, we greet you and we thank you for tuning in to another broadcast. But truly, we are so excited. We are excited about the things of the kingdom. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you, get your Bibles out. And I pray that you are prepare to hear a word from on high. There's nothing like the blood of Jesus. Amen, somebody. We're going to be talking today about building godly relationships. Amen. We have relationships, but we're talking about a godly relationship. A relationship that's built on a solid foundation. Amen. And in those type of relationships, you put God first and you let God lead. You let him guide and you let him direct. Amen. So we're talking about a godly relationship. Get your Bibles out. I'm telling you, we're going to sit at the table and we're going to eat. How many want to eat the word of God? See, when you eat the word of God, you become a vessel of the word of God. And when you become a vessel of the word of God, you bear fruit. Amen? A tree that's bearing fruit. So the fruit that you bear is the fruit that's on the inside. So if you got a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, you will not be moved. Amen? The wind gonna blow. The storm going to come, the rain going to shower, the rain comes, but you're a tree, and you shall not be moved.
building a godly relationship is a foundational relationship. So first we build a relationship with God, and that's horizontal. And then we build a relationship with man, that's vertical. And guess what? There you got the cross. Amen. We're going to go through some crosses. But God said, I'll bring you out of every one of them. If you believe that God will bring you out of every situation, you have to embrace that in your spirit. No matter what you go through, you have to see the end of the thing. It's not what happens to you, it's how you handle what happens to you. Amen. I want to thank everyone for tuning in, and I pray that you have your Bibles and you're ready to hear a word from on high. But God is speaking. And sometimes we have to get away just so we can hear what God is saying. Always make him first. Because he said, this is what he said. He said, I'll lead you, I will guide you, and I will direct you. How many want God to lead you, guide you, and direct you? See, when God is leading us and God is guiding us, that's when we can operate in perfect peace. See, it's the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. See, sometimes we feel like you're going through and you don't understand why, and God is trying to get your attention because God want to be God in your life, and God want to be first in your life. He don't want to be second, for he said in his word, he does not want to be second. Amen, amen. God want to be first, so we want him to get, we want to give him our first fruit. The first fruit of the day, we want to get in his presence, and we want to talk to him. Amen, we want to dwell with him. We want to hear his voice. We want him to lead us and guide us. If you believe this to be so, look at people that follow Christ. People that follow Christ, the majority of them, things happen to you, but you know that you're going through to get to the next place that God is trying to take you. So I just want to encourage everyone on the line to get your Bibles out, and let's get ready to hear a word from on high. Glory to God. We're talking about building a godly relationship, or building godly relationships. You know, why we must be relational people. See, relational people, God is relational. He's a relational God. So let me just lift up a word of prayer, and then we're going to go into the word of God. And we pray that this will help you become stronger in every single relationship that you encounter. So, God, we thank you for what you're doing. We ask you, God, that you would hide us and allow your spirit to lead us, that we will not operate in our will, but we will operate in your will. Father, we know, Lord God, that you're here with us. We know that you'll lead us. We know that you'll guide us. God, we ask you to soften our hearts that we might not sin against you. So we thank you for it as this word go forth, that you would speak to our hearts and lead us, that we would have godly relationships. Amen, amen, in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, when you really think about the goodness of God, you think about that God said, I'll live inside of you. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that God said, I'll live inside of you. See, God is a spirit, and we have a spirit. Our spirit can connect with God, or our spirit can connect with the enemy, the devil. It's true. You know how you see people that produce good fruit, and you see people that produce just the opposite. Well, the people that produce good fruit are people that allow God to live inside of them. So God is a relational God. See, we were created because of a relationship with him. See, God created man, and he created man in his own image. And the Bible says that he created man in his own likeness. He created him male and female. So God put the female inside of the male. Hallelujah. So that's why women are called woman in the natural. Amen. So we will only grow as a Christian through relationships. I want you to get it. There's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing he won't do. There's nothing he won't fix. All we have to do is let him. So that means that we can't lean to our own understanding. We have to acknowledge him in all our ways so that what? So that he may direct our path. He want to direct us. He don't want us to be not listening to what he tells us to do. When God is in something, the devil tries everything that he can to destroy it. Amen. I want you to know that. He want to destroy every good thing, everything that can bear good fruit. So he tried to destroy what? Relationships. Whether it be with your siblings, whether it be with your parents, whether it be with your husband, your just platonic friendships, you know, any type of relationship, the enemy want to destroy. How do he want to destroy? He want to destroy it by lack of understanding. I want you to get what I'm saying. So what he tries to do is make it so we don't understand one another. So if I don't understand where you're coming from, or I don't have empathy or sympathy or compassion for another person's pain or their situations, guess what's going to happen? It's going to be a bad relationship. So I have to put myself in their shoes. And then I began to feel what they feel. Amen. God is so awesome. Begin to turn your Bibles. Let's start with, amen, 2 Corinthians. We're going to read verses chapter 3. Hallelujah. And then I'm going to read verses 3. Hallelujah. I'm going to read 3 through, I'll read chapter 3, verses 12 through 18. That's what I read. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, please don't cease to open up that Bible, because that's what we need to do. Keep your Bibles open. See, when we get in the Word of God, it's a peace that comes, that you are not moved when trouble comes, that you are not emotionally moved. Yes, we're going to go through some things, you know, and in this life, we go through things and it strengthens us. It makes us stronger. It makes us more able to handle situations. So when we get to handle these situations, we build relationships. We build trust in our relationships. Amen. And building trust in your relationship is imperative. You know, you want to be able to be what? Trusted. You want to be able to stand another person's pain, another person's situation. So we forget about ourselves. Amen. And we begin to see what that other person is going through. And God has a miraculous way that he works, and he allow us to see what someone else is going through, because we're more so concerned about what our emotions. And that's human nature, of course, because it's called self-preservation. Of course, we're going to look out for ourselves, and that's just what we do. But when you become a Christian, When you become a believer, you're concerned about others. Listen what the Bible says, and this is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm reading verses 12 through 18. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, glory to God. We're just going to turn it here. My screen is jumping all over the place. The enemy don't want me to minister this word because he know that it just might help us. Amen. He know that it just might help us. But let me flip the scriptures. I'm reading. And the Bible says in verse 12, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. What does that mean? When you have hope, you're going to speak in plainness. You're not going to just say anything. Why? Because words have power. Amen. Words create and words destroy. So the enemy wants us to use words that's going to tear down good relationships. Amen. The words that we say create, or they can what? Destroy. So think about words that we're using. Think about words that we think. Think about words that we use to shut someone down or to shut down a conversation. Words. So we speak plainly. This is what the Bible is saying. Okay, amen. My computer jumping all over the place. But nevertheless, we're going to keep going forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And just know that when we use words, our words build up or our words, what, tear down. So we got to be careful with our words, because you could have a good relationship and then you say the wrong words and you realize that you're destroying what you've been building. Hallelujah. And then the Bible says, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished. But their minds were blind. Do you know that the enemy can blind your mind? He can make you miss what God is trying to show you. So he'll blind your mind, not blind your eyes, but blind your mind where you're not able to even perceive what's really going on. And then the Bible says, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which a veil is done away in Christ. See, let me explain the scripture. When we follow Christ, he opened up the eyes of our understanding, and he allowed us to have spiritual wisdom, that when things are happening, you can see through what's actually happening. You're able to get the understanding of why God is allowing this thing to happen. And guess what happens? You're able to operate in strong peace. Why? Because you understand what's going on. You understand what the enemy is trying to do. So the enemy used words to destroy and to blind us. I want somebody to say, I'm not blind. I can see what you're doing. I'm not leaning to my own understanding. I'm building a steadfast relationship with everyone that I come in contact with. Amen. So when Jesus came, he opened up our eyes so that we can see beyond the veil. Amen. This is the Bible. Verse 15 says, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil on your heart. Listen, let me explain this. Can you picture a veil on your heart? And what does that mean? That means that you have a hard heart. So it's a veil there. And when there's a veil there, you're not moved by emotions. I'm going to say it again. When there's a veil on your heart is hardened. You can't get what God is trying to say to you. Amen? So we have to ask God to remove the veil. How do he remove the veil? By accepting the word of God, by accepting Jesus in your life, by accepting this true change, the change that only comes from God. See, man can't give it to us. Woman can't give it to us, but God can. So the Bible says, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. So when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we make him the center of our life, the veil is moving. It's removed. Your heart is now softened. I'm not saying you won't get angry, but guess what? You won't stay angry. That's the key. Your heart won't stay heavy. The veil has been removed because you understand that the enemy attacks our heart so he can get to our spirit. Verse 17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, you're free. You're not in bondage. You're not held hostage. It's a freedom that comes with you. So you're authentic. You're able to see some things before it happens. You're at liberty. You're free. You're free. You're free. So the enemy want to have you bound. He want to have each and every one of us bound that we feel heavy. We feel this load of heaviness. And Jesus came that we might be free. Listen what verse 18 says. For we all, not just you, talking about all of us, open face, beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord. Do you know that the glory of the Lord wants to live inside of us? See, when you walk in peace, when you live in peace, the glory of the Lord is in your presence, because when you come in a room, others can see the glory of God in your life, on your life, with your life, because there's a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's only one way to get it. And then the Bible says, but a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. So what does that mean? We get better as the day go by. We get greater as we walk this life out, as we learn of the Lord. We're talking about building godly relationships. How do you build it? We have to be the best. I have to be the best me. I have to work on me. I have to see my flaws. I have to be able to look at the man in the mirror, and I have to ask God to show me where I'm missing it. Show me where I need to grow. Show me where I can be the best me. So we grow. We grow. And when we grow, our relationships grow. See, the first point and the foremost, we must be properly relating to God. I said in the beginning that God is relational. So he wants a relationship with us. And I believe it is not possible to have a honestly good, pure relationship unless God is in it. Because when God is in it, you're able to hear his voice. And that voice you hear, you think is your mind thinking, it's God leading you. It's God directing you. That's the first thing, having a relationship with God. And then the second point in building a godly relationship, we must grow in our relationship with others. Okay, let me make a point here. So you take a sheet of paper and you write down all the names that you don't have a fairly good relationship with, that you want the relationship to be better. Because, see, the enemy works where he make us where we be like, mm-mm, I don't want to be bothered. We don't care. But if you got, like, siblings and you got family members, you got people in your life that's going to always be in your life, you want to try to build a godly relationship with them. So you want to start somewhere. So we're going to start by saying, let's write it down. We're going to write it down, the names of the people that we like to have a good relationship with. And then, and foremost, we want to mainly consider the fact our relationship with God. Because, see, when my life began to change, the first feeling that I had was, who have I hurt? Who have I subjected to unnecessary pain? And who have I not forgiven? So that's how my journey started. So it was more so God had me call, apologize to people. I didn't even know I had hurt them. But I called, and I was out of obedience. I did it. Some received it. Some didn't. But it was off of me. God had me send letters out. It was off of me. I did what God told me to do. So whether they accepted it, now it's on them. So establishing godly relationships, it shows that you are making God first in your life. See, when you see believers and you can question their love walk, if they're not showing love, if they're not showing forgiveness, you can question, are they really growing in the relationship with God? Amen. So the second point, we must grow in our relationship with others. Listen what the Bible says. We are not spirit controlled. If we are not functioning properly in our relationships, guess what? You can see that we're not functioning properly in our godly relationship. Because see, when you're functioning properly in your godly relationship, you're going to be able to solve problems. Problems are made to be solved. Locks are made to be broken. So all of this goes together. It goes together. Let's look at Galatians 5. And I'm going to read Galatians 5, verse 19 through 23. Amen. And what I'm trying to do, my mission today is to say there's nothing too hard for God. It might be too hard for us, of course, but not God. So we have to center our relationships around what God says. So listen what it says, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. What are these? These are works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, and variety of these things, envying, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in the time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But, there's a but, the fruit of the Spirit, which is the characteristics of Christ, the characteristics of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. So there is no law against the fruit of the Spirit. But there's a law against I'm talking about a biblical law against adultery, fornication, sedition, heresy, hatred, all that I read. The Bible says you can't enter or you can't inherit the kingdom of God. So we have to look around and see, are we creating any of these things? We cannot obey many of the commandments of the scriptures if we do not have relations with others. See, if we don't have relationship with others, I can't produce love. I need someone else that I can show love to. Listen, I can't produce meekness because I need someone else that I can show meekness to. I need someone to be in the relationship. I can't show peace because I need to have someone else to show peace to. So we're talking about relationships, building godly relationships. The third point that I want to make, and then I'm going to release you off the line. We need each other to help each other grow. Yes, I need you and you need me. So you can master relationships, but you have to know how to do it. You have to know how to use the principles of God. We are called to stir each other up to love and do good works. Oh, yes. As a believer, that's our job. That's our assignment, to bring love and good works into our relationships. So that's why it's good to be connected with people that live their life centered around God. Because if your life is not centered around God, when trouble comes, you won't know how to battle it. And that goes with both parties. If I got a sister and my life is centered around God and her life is centered around God, the only way we won't come together if it's a hardening of the heart. But listen what Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20 through 24 says. Listen what it says. And I love this scripture. The Bible says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking to assemble of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. We got to build each other up. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Because it's going to come a day where we're not going to have that person. They may have passed on and went to glory. So the Bible says provoke love. Provoke good works. Do good things. Forgive. See, the Bible says that we don't forgive those that despitefully use us. Guess what he said? He said he won't forgive us. He said if we don't forgive those that have hurt us, he said he won't hear or answer our prayers. We're talking about godly relationships, making him the center. Because when he's the center, you can both go to God in prayer. And I guarantee you that he will fix it. But see, the thing is, we don't put him in the center. I'm going to give you one more scripture. We are commanded to build each other up. Oh, yes. See, you might have a shortcoming. That person might have a shortcoming. We all do. But the Bible says we are commanded to build each other up. Yes, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. So that, what does that mean? That means we look beyond our, as God looks beyond our faults, we look beyond their faults and see the need. See, if we're able to see the need, that's love. You know how you see you got a child and you see the little shortcomings in that child. You look beyond that because that's your child. But that's the way we should do in every relationship. Look beyond that fault. Look beyond that shortcoming, especially when you are a believer, especially when you are a child of God. So let me read this. We're commanded to build each other up. Listen what it says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. I think this is so awesome that we're commanded to build each other up. We're not supposed to tear one another down. Okay, it says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, that you're doing. Who are you building up? See, when you want a good relationship, make that person feel better when you leave them. Build them up. Encourage them. Let them know they can do it. You know, don't be a hater. Be a congratulator. I just threw that in there. I just say praise God, because I understand that if you're going to work on building a godly relationship, we have to communicate with each other. And what does that mean? That means that I'm showing you God's mercy. I'm ministering grace to you, which is necessary for us to grow. We are imperfect people with a perfect God. So if I put my imperfect self in the hands of God, guess what? I'm perfect in Him because He's in me. And when I build a relationship, I seek to understand and opposed to being understood. We're talking about building a perfect relationship, a godly relationship. So I've been kind of preparing this series for a couple of weeks now, and I'm going to be finishing up on next week. We're going to stay on this subject for a couple of weeks, because I understand that sometimes you have relationships that's not godly, but we put God in it. You know, you just grab the person's hand, pray with them. You grab the person's hand, provoke them to love. You grab them and you say, hey, God in the middle of this, because God will fix it every single time. When I learned the keys to building a godly relationship, I was able to have the grace to deal with some situations. So I say to you today, let God lead you, let Him guide you, use the Word of God, and remember that we are commanded to build each other up. Our communication with God is necessary. It's our place to grow in God, because what you do for others, guess what happens? God will do it for you. Amen, amen. I just say glory to God. Thank you all for calling in. Thank you for who you are, allowing God to lead you. If you don't know God and the pardon of your sin, I want to encourage you to accept Him. Accept Him as your Lord and Savior. How do we accept Him? We just say, Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I accept you because I believe that Jesus died on the cross and He did not stay dead. The power of God will rest upon you when you allow God to lead your life. Yes, you get angry. Yes, you're going to fall short. Yes, you're going to miss it. God made it that way so that we can always run to the rock
He has all the answers, and he has all the solutions. So I want to encourage you in party that you would know that a change is going to come. When we embrace God and walk in what God has called us to do. Amen, amen, amen. Talking about building godly relationships, I want to say to you today, let this day be a day filled with peace, filled with God's direction. Don't be moved by Satan's devices. Amen, amen. Father, we just thank you for those that have called in, those that's on the internet, and even those that will listen in archives. God, we ask you to penetrate their hearts, allow them to hear you, allow them to know what you would have them to do. And Father, as they come toward you, we know that your arms are wide open to receive. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. I'm going to play and party. If you like what we're doing, we want to encourage you to sow where you grow. If you are part of Kingdom Builders Development Institute, you can go to www.giveify.com and just look at Kingdom Builders and Kingdom Daughters, and you'll see myself, Teresa Docks, I'm there, and Elder QT Docks, and you can sow into the ministry. You'll be sowing into our conference that's coming up in September. You'll be sowing into the food bank that we have where we give out food to the seniors. And there's so many other things that we're doing, internet radio, prayer, conference is coming up. But a lot of things that we're doing, we want to encourage you to partnership with us and just make it something you do monthly, you know, that you'll help others become what God has called them to become. So with that being said, we love you. Let the peace of God rule your heart and know that God will not withhold anything from you if you walk uprightly. Amen. I'm going to play this in closing. A change is going to come. God bless everyone from Elder QT Docs and myself. We love you, and we pray that God will speak to you, lead, guide, and direct you. Amen. God bless everyone. Have a blessed holiday. Holiday is coming. And just have a blessed 4th and keep God as the center of your life. Go tell someone that you love them. God bless you.
help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long, but now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know